forward, you people. It is the Starship Rocon Show with Anna DeMontis up for another day. Complete day of broadcast insolence. All right, I want you
rainy, gloomy day.
To adjust your scorecards here.
Okay.
Everybody ready?
Let's get it out.
Chicago White Sox were prepared to play a baseball game tonight at 7:10.
Mm-hmm. How's that working out for them?
That is not going to work out for them.
No. I can't even see the road out the window. Seriously. I mean, look out the window. It's a joke. You'd think the blinds are down.
There's lightning.
Uh-oh, we need another thunder shirt on the staff, I think. Ro uses his. Maybe we need one for Lauren.
When I, when there's thunder, as you know, as there's thunder and lightning, I like to crawl up in the hamper. I get in the closet and I just crawl up in the hamper in a ball, and I wait for it to pass. I learned that from my dog a long time ago, and I thought, God, that looks comfortable, and I just started doing it myself. I just got a force of habit.
Whatever keeps you calm. Get you through it.
So the White Sox have rolled up into a ball, and they are now in a hamper.
Mm-hmm.
And they will they'll take to the field tomorrow, in theory. Although Demetrius did not inspire me with great thoughts about what tomorrow's going to be like either.
And tomorrow's important for us. Kevin, Lauren.
That's Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Sorry. Yeah, Thursday. So is Thursday okay, you say?
Thursday may be a little on the coolish side, but, we're going to
be there no matter
imbibing
what.
In CH vodka, so it don't matter. To us.
Warm up from the inside.
Great. Big day Thursday.
Big day Thursday. So it's going to be so Lauren and Kevin are going to be at Cork and Carry at the park. Now, Cork and Carry at the park is at 33rd and Princeton.
Nice.
Directly north of the park through that little street. I don't know the name of that whole street. That's kind of even with the main gate of.
I mean, if you can't find the ballpark from Cork and Carry, you got some trouble.
I just want them to find
home.
Cork and Carry.
Right.
Yeah, from the ballpark.
Princeton.
I'm sure there are people who have walked out of Cork and Carry and, pre-game. So where the hell's the ballpark, man?
So you just go to, where the main, where behind home plate gate would be.
It's Princeton, 3259 South Princeton
right.
is the actual address.
Right.
But it's fairly prominent.
33rd in Princeton. And so what you do is you walk. Here's what you do. It's simple. You go to that gate, and then you walk due north for a block and a half, and you're right there.
You're there. Can't miss it.
And they're going to be giving away tickets to that game on Thursday night. It's against the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
So you know there's going to be all kinds of...
New England nonsense?
Yes. I was going to say... Red Sox D-bags, but
I cleaned it up for you a little bit.
Yeah. I was actually going to go harder than that. If we were on the web show, I would have gone much harder than that.
Oh, I can imagine the web shows.
You know what that means. That means there's a lot of Patriots fans, too.
I was wondering if I'd see a Brady jersey here or there.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, probably so. A surprising number here.
A lot of guys with fake Boston accents just trying to ride the championship parade.
You'll hear the word wicked used in a million different ways.
Wicked smart. That's my favorite. She's wicked smart.
I never hear that. I always hear wicked hot is what I hear.
You're in different circles.
Wicked hat.
I'm with
just
the parents.
Hat. Yeah. Right. You're with the parents, right. Yeah, because that's, oh my God. Uh-huh. Anyway, so that's what that is. So we need to represent. Because I'm not going to sit here and take it from a bunch of those Boston, Northeast, Ivy League poop heads. I'm not going to do that. Again, cleaning it up.
Well, I went to the New England game, as we all know, for the NFL with the Tom Brady came to town.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they surprisingly...
The game that the Bears should have won?
Yes. I mean, yes. Right. It was the start of something special. It could have been.
The end of Kevin White, as we might remember.
Right.
Kevin White, the wide receiver, it was the end of his NFL career, essentially.
Well, it was just amazing how well they travel, those particular fans.
Yes, they do.
They travel.
Right. Well, a lot of
Bears
here.
Fans.
A lot of them
live
here.
Did they go to New England? I mean, I don't know.
But there's a lot of transplants, so there's Chicagoans everywhere.
Okay.
But there's a lot of Bostonites here because they couldn't get a job there. You got to get a job here. I don't care what Stephen Moore said about Chicago. So this is a big, important game on Thursday night.
Totally is.
Most important because we are going to have the CH vodka beforehand.
And I haven't had it yet, but I've heard amazing things.
Chicago's hometown vodka made right here.
I love that story.
Right there it's Chicago water that's making that vodka, and that makes it even better. Right?
It's like the bagels in New York. They taste different. They taste better. So Chicago water.
I'm taking care of them. So anyway, stop by Cork and Carry at the park before the game. starting at 3 o'clock, because Kevin and Lauren are going to be doing their portion of the show from out there. And then Anna and I, through the magic of radio and high-speed automobile technology, are going to be getting there, you know, in enough time.
You definitely have the Batmobile. You've been able to get us in between a break from, like, here to Harry Carey's or here to the ballpark. It's somehow, you've got that down, Ro. I don't know. I just sort of close my eyes and I don't look and see how many traffic violations are committed.
Ro knows every little shortcut. I made the mistake one night. I was just driving me back and I was like, I think you could go here. And he just gave me this look like, shut up, kid. I've lived here my whole life. What the hell are you giving me directions for? And I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't know what I'm doing there.
I know how to use, I use all the Batman routes.
I'm like, when did this road get built?
There are streets you don't know exist here. And there are actually streets that really probably not designed for traffic.
A couple of those.
Yeah, but yet have been used as you know, for said things. So we'll be doing that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a little plan. I have a little escape pod plan for
how to get there
for Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. Got an idea.
Did you get my leash yet?
Yes, we're going to put her on a leash, and because we don't want to lose her in the crowd, because you know Lauren is
Lauren,
she is the mother of all dragons, as you'll see in an upcoming video.
She looks very much like her, Daenerys.
Yes, she's a
she's tiny.
She's a diminutive.
Yeah, and yet I can't see anything ever because I am very short.
Don't worry, we'll put you on Kevin's shoulders. It'll be just
we'll protect
fine.
You.
Yeah. That'd be good. That would actually look like a costume of some sort if you put her on their shoulders.
Trench coat.
Right? It would be like those guys in the hot dog races. It's one guy on top of another. You know, it would be like that kind of a deal. All right, hold on. You know what? This is not. Right now, we got the CLTV on us. We got the WGN-TV newsroom abuzz. They're ready to tell us things. Ben Bradley's standing by. This is serious stuff. So let's do that. But first, Kim, what's coming up?
Ro, the White House closely monitoring the situation in Venezuela.
Then there's this. Come on out to WGN-TV's White Sox Weather Day. It's May 14th. It's with Tom Skilling. See Skilling's presentation followed by White Sox Indians. Tickets available whitesox.com/WGN.
I love that day. That
I do, too.
Ton of fun.
Oh, my gosh. And Tom takes so much time with everybody answering questions.
He stands on the dugout like Ribby and Rhubarb.
Yeah. He totally does.
I always think he's going to crowd surf at some point. He'll just jump off the dugout into the waiting embrace of thousands of fellow weather junkies.
I kind of think that would happen. And it's school kids. And they ask really good questions.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike us. All right, Ben, I need to know some things.
Yes, sir.
All right. First of all, what's coming up in the news?
Coming up on the news, we're going to take you to my alma mater, Homewood Flossmoor High School. Unfortunately, the school is in the news after a couple of white kids apparently thought it would be funny to put blackface on themselves, broadcasted on the internet, kind of harass, I guess you could say, an African-American who was working at a drive-through window. So the school said it had dealt with those kids, but there is a feeling among many African-American students at HF that they were given special treatment, that they weren't dealt with in as strong a fashion as they deserved. So about 1,000 kids walked out of HF today. I think the school has 2,800 people attend it nowadays. So, you know, just a lot of tensions at the school. But it's, you know, it's worth pointing out, you know, the superintendent and the principal, who presumably would have been doling out the punishment, they're both African-American. The school is 68% African-American, 18% white. But there's kind of a bigger backdrop going on there. A couple of months ago, school administrators, those same school administrators, took some heat because they sent a letter home to parents, some parents, saying, your child has been identified as having gang associates. And they gleaned that information both from school reports but also from social media. And the school basically told these parents, you and your student have to come in and meet with us immediately or we're going to suspend the kid. And there was a feeling after that that predominantly affected African-American students, that there was this threat that just based on, you know, social media posts, you've tagged me as a gang member. And the school stood by that decision. You know, the story you see playing
out
there.
But again, you're pointing out that these are African American administrators doing this.
But what did they dole out for the two students, the white students in question.
So there were three white students, and that's the thing. The school administrators are citing student confidentiality as saying, you know, look, we can't tell you how we dealt with this. We can't tell you what punishments were doled out. And look, that's true for all students, right? Like, they can't, when a reporter calls the school or other parents say, well, what happened to that kid? You know, they can't say, oh, well, we suspended him for 5 days, and we also did
this.
Back
in the old days, they did.
But they can't officially, but can't other students say, well, here's what happened?
Word gets around school, right? You know, that says, oh, well, I didn't see so-and-so at the school today, or, you know, but there's a variety of reasons behind why that person may not be in class today. So the school's in a bit of a catch-22 here because it can't officially say how they punish these students, but yet you have, gosh, at least 1,000 kids today who felt compelled enough to walk out of class because they felt like their voices weren't being heard. Von Mansfield, who's the superintendent down there, actually former NFL player, really good guy. He's been the superintendent for years. Before that, he was the principal. Sent a note to parents saying that they hope to use this as a teaching moment, that in English classes there were going to be discussions on blackface. And, you know, it's worth noting that some people who know these white kids who did this, you know, their take is, well, these kids didn't know better. They didn't have a sense of, you know, all of the implications of this.
Mm-hmm. Do you get the sense that the students are protesting that there wasn't more punishment, or is it more of a show of unity to say, hey, we don't stand for this. This isn't who we are?
That's a great point. And that is, I think you do have a lot of kids down there who are trying to say, hey, this is who we are. We're not going to be defined by some other scenario. As is often the case with high school kids and emotional issues, you have a lot of information and misinformation that's circulated around, and that obviously is made even worse in times of social media. But you also have a scenario. I think, you know, when I graduated from HF in 93, and I'm just guessing, but I want to say it was, you know, probably 60%, 70% white, 20% black, and you have demographics that have shifted over the years. The school is still an incredible school. I go down there several times a year, but you have
take
all of this kind of
evening
coming
classes
together.
What are you doing down there?
Yeah. Going back for the classes you didn't do so well in.
But you have lots of emotions coming together.
Yeah,
here.
I get it.
Totally.
And you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, I hate. You know, we did the story a couple of months ago when The school officials called in these kids for allegedly having gang ties and demanded meetings with their parents, and we're obviously, Pat Elwood's down there doing the story for us today. I hate seeing my high school, you know, portrayed in a negative light, because there's so many great kids, so much great stuff going on down there.
Right.
I mean, it is a gem in the South Suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we've seen this throughout American history. You know, changing demographics in neighborhoods, and it always sparks in schools, right? Because that's where the maybe the neighborhoods still remain somewhat segregated, but mm-hmm. the schools are not. And so a lot of the turmoil, and many times my experience has been, a lot of times it's the parents provoking it, because the parents are the ones that get freaked out by it, because they're maybe from a different generation.
Mm-hmm.
Although now I'm thinking about what that generation would be. That's a pretty enlightened generation of parents, right?
Sure, they're
parents
16.
Who grew up in the 80s and 90s are having the kids who are in high school today, right? So that's like a, you know,
but against
this is
that backdrop,
they should know better.
Against that backdrop, anytime you have any incident, you know, parents who are concerned, you know, want to say, oh my gosh, is it because of this? Well, no, sometimes bad things happen, you know, they're and that's kind of what's frustrating, right, is in the entire conversation about race and demographics and things like that, is that there are a million factors that go into things. Obviously, in this scenario with these kids dressing up in blackface, that, you know, they were horribly wrong and they should be dealt with.
I blame YouTube.
The other interesting spot the school is in, right, is we presume this took place off campus. I mean, the pictures and videos we saw took place off campus. So the school is, you know, in a bind about saying, well, how do we discipline them? They can get disciplined if you know, they're involved in extracurriculars or something like that, where there's a code of conduct. But the school might be in a bad spot when it comes to how they handle this. But imagine you know, just imagine the emotions on both sides going through there. You know, you've got African-American kids who see this, who see their classmates in blackface, mm-hmm. regardless of whether or not those white kids understood the meaning.
They feel as though that's an aggressive act against them personally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I get that. Mm-hmm. And then the school also has a responsibility to make sure that everybody is safe inside the school, and that some of the and as you point out in the South Suburbs, you know, it's, you know, still a fairly safe environment for people, mm-hmm. for families. And there are some, but there are some areas or some specific suburbs that are you know, run into all kinds of problems, just gotten totally burned out, political corruption, and, mm-hmm. right. and you know, zero economics and things like that. And that's a dangerous thing. And there is some gang activity down there, and there has to be I think schools like HF have to be very careful and say, hey, when they see it trying to creep in, to make sure that they stem it, because there's a lot of kids that get drawn into this who come from, you know, supportive middle class families, who get drawn into the allure of it because it's just a, because it, you know, it seems interesting or fun, and
they're
kids,
you know, yeah. jump at whatever seems risque,
right,
so, or daring,
yes.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
More of this coming up at 4?
Yes, sir. 4 o'clock.
All right, thank you.
Yep,
Ben Bradlin, WGN TV. All right, we have got the news with Kim, and the traffic with Lauren, and the sports with Kevin, coming your way in 2 minutes.
A universal basic income is a policy where every citizen in a country gets a certain amount of money free and clear to do whatever they want. So my plan, the Freedom Dividend, would give every American adult $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year starting at age 18. This would create millions of jobs around the country and would allow families and individuals to help manage this historic transition that we're in terms of technology transforming the labor force.
And that's Andrew Yang.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Yang has been one of those guys that on the interwebs, on the YouTube and social media and all these other places, he's running for president mm-hmm. in 2020. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Andrew, but my sense is, in watching you out in your media interviews and also your YouTube and all your presentations, it seems like what's happening here is you have a very specific issue that you want to bring to the forefront. And running for president is a good way to do it. I'm just going to leave it at that. You never know what can happen in a campaign. Sometimes things happen and you think, oh, well, that's, you know, guy's got no chance, and he does have a chance. But it seems that this is the one thing, this universal income concept. And the first time I heard it, I thought to myself, all right, this can't possibly work. How are you going to give everybody $1,000 a month, essentially, all these people $1,000 a month, and it's going to create jobs? Explain how this creates jobs.
Well, if you think about it, if everyone listening to this had an extra $1,000 a month, how much of that money would get spent in their local businesses on tutoring services and car repairs and occasional nights out and trips to the hardware store? And all those businesses get that money and then have to, in some cases, hire more people. So this would create about 2 million new jobs minimum around the country, because we'd be increasing the size of our consumer economy by about 12%.
But where do you get that money?
Well, you have to ask yourself first, who are the big winners in today's economy? It's companies like Amazon, our trillion-dollar tech company, and they paid zero in federal taxes last year. You know, when you ask where are we going to get the money, our economy is up to $20 trillion, up $5 trillion in the last 12 years. The problem is that the American people are not seeing our fair share of it. In a $20 trillion economy, we can easily afford a dividend of $1,000 a month, particularly because that money doesn't disappear. We have it. We spend it. It grows our economy. We generate $400 billion in new tax revenue. Our children get stronger and healthier. We save money on things like incarceration, homelessness services, emergency room health care. Our mental health improves. Entrepreneurship goes up. This is the trickle-up economy from people, families, and communities up. Not only can we do it, we have to do it. Because if we don't do it, 30% of malls and stores are going to close in the next 4 years. Truck driving is going to be taken over by robots in the next 5 to 10 years. call center workers are going to get replaced by AI. We have to make this move as soon as possible.
So you look at, I think I'm starting to read your book, The War on Normal People, and you make this case about all of the jobs, and some, like you've just cited, and many that maybe people don't even recognize are sort of going away. There's this McKinsey study that's cited all the time. A third of the jobs as we know it right now will be gone in the year 2030, and you feel like, wow, that's an awful lot of people. What will happen to them? Is that a big part of this universal income play? And I guess the other question is, some people would say, well, why don't you create free job training, free education for anybody who wants to work in a new job for the future?
Yeah, I'm glad you cite the McKinsey study. And you don't have to speculate about this anymore. We got rid of 4 million manufacturing jobs in Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania. It led directly to Donald Trump's election. And if you look at what happened to those 4 million workers, about half left the workforce and never worked again. And then half of that group filed for disability, and we saw surges in drug overdoses and suicides to the point where our overall national life expectancy has declined for the last 3 years as a result. So this isn't something that we're just speculating about. We're in the middle of this. We're in the third inning. And to your point about retraining, the government tried to retrain those manufacturing workers, and independent studies show that those retraining programs had a success rate of approximately 0 to 15%. Mm. The truth is, if you put up a retraining program, what is a 50-year-old former truck driver going to retrain as? And if you were a company, would you rather employ that former truck driver who likely has health problems and has higher salary demands, or a 25-year-old community college graduate who might be more current?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you get to the whole point here, we go back to the initial point, which is that technology is going to replace the worker, the human worker, in a lot of places.
There won't be the number of jobs.
Right. So whether it's, you'll still need designers to build the AI and to build, you know, other pieces of the tech, and you'll have to have people thinking thoughts. But you don't necessarily have to have hands building upon those thoughts. And that, I think, is your main issue here, is the, you know, the crux of your argument, which is that's why you have to start with this idea of giving people $12,000. But doesn't that automatically, just from, you know, pure economics, and I'm talking about economics 101. I don't think you have to be an economist to wonder this question, is if you start with a base of $12,000 for every person in the United States, doesn't that begin to create an inflation cycle? Doesn't that $12,000 become rather worthless? I mean, at what point does the fact that it is not directly related to production, that the creation of wealth is not directly related to the production piece, doesn't that create fat, waste, and inflation in the system?
Well, if you look at it, we printed $4 trillion, more than that, for the Wall Street banks in the financial bailout and experienced zero inflation. And there's been very little consumer inflation for years in our economy in just about every category except for three that are making us miserable: education, healthcare, and housing. And none of those areas have experienced inflation because of our buying power. Unfortunately, it's the opposite. Like, the prices just go up even as our buying power stays the same. So putting this buying power into our hands would not cause inflation in all the consumer categories. Like, if the local burger joint in Chicago raised its prices from $6 to $10, it's not like you would accept that, because even though you're getting $1,000 a month, you're not made of money. You're still cost sensitive and there's still competition.
And but Andrew, it's so funny you mention that, because that is what's happening, is that McDonald's, for example, and you see in McDonald's, which is, you know, headquartered here in Chicago, mm-hmm. is experimenting now with increases in their menu prices, and they're seeing how far they can actually take that. And like, you know, you go through a McDonald's in Chicago now, especially the, you know, the fancy downtown ones, mm-hmm. and you're walking out with your burger, your fries, and your drink for around $10. Which was not the initial model for that. So I think you are going to start to see that in greater ways. All right, so on the other side of this, let's just assume for a second you become president in 2020, you get this whole thing worked out, and everybody's going to get the $12,000. That would be your plan. How do you get that through a legislature? How do you convince people in business to be giving this dividend? And I have an idea for you. Call it a dividend. Don't call it a tax. Because if you call it a tax, you'll never get it through. But if you ask all these American corporations that are doing very well for a dividend, you know, like a stock dividend, well, that might be a different situation.
What's, how's that sound to you, Andrew?
Well, you're reading my mind because it's actually called the Freedom Dividend. And it's a dividend on our incredible innovation and economic progress. I've spoken to dozens of CEOs who are actually on board with this plan. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, recently came out for a negative income tax, which is essentially guaranteeing a certain income to every American. And Jamie and other CEOs know that markets and businesses function better when people have money to spend. You know when markets don't function as well? When you're pushing millions of Americans to the sidelines because we don't have work to do. So this is good for businesses. It's not a hard sell at all. I actually have dozens of CEOs who are supporting my campaign. And for those of you who think my being president is far out, I'm already polling at 3% nationwide, and no one's ever heard of me. I'm beating senators and governors.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, I know.
I qualified for the Democratic primary debate in June and July, and I have most all the money just coming from everyday Americans who are only giving $19 each, so my fans are even cheaper than Bernie's.
Well, I know Bernie gets a lot of attention because, you know, some people call him the guy of free stuff, the candidate for free stuff. I know that's an oversimplification, but, you know, he is trying to help people who feel like they're struggling and they need help from the government to pay bills and student loans and things like that. It seems like the people don't, you know, you're getting your message out and you're on your way to Iowa. Is that right? I see that you're...
I'm on my way back from Iowa. I'm heading to Seattle, Detroit, and Minneapolis this week.
Mm. It's interesting.
That is.
Detroit is an interesting story, too. You know, Detroit is one of those cities that died, right? It's sort of like it's kind of a White Walker. It's dead. Now it's jumping back up again. And let's see how they're trying to build an industrial base there. I mean, that's the problem is what are you going to do with people? And I guess this is where the nihilism and the darkness comes in here. If people just decide, listen, I got to stay out of the workplace because there really isn't anything for me. You know, 50, 60, 70-year-old people, that's before 70, people before they're getting Social Security, they stay out. Isn't it just going to lead to all kinds of other social pathologies?
Well, unfortunately, the pathologies are here with us again. And I talked about the declining life expectancy in our entire country. I mean, think about that. Like in a developed country, for our life expectancy to decline for 3 years in a row because of suicides and drug overdoses is unheard of. The last time that happened in this country was the Spanish flu of 1918. So it's not like putting $1,000 a month into people's hands is going to cause these pathologies. They're already here with us. The $1,000 a month will keep our communities and families stronger and healthier. Will give people more of a path to the future, will improve our mental health and our stress levels and our relationships. And in the aggregate, it would give more people a chance to do the work that we actually want to do. How many Americans right now would prefer to be doing something else if their basic needs were met? This will be the greatest catalyst to entrepreneurship and work and job creation in our nation's history.
All right, Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang, it's yang2020.com for the website right
now. And I
like
the trending Yang Gang. Out of Iowa.
Thank you. Sounds like
you were getting a lot of momentum there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Good luck on the trail.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, guys. Been a pleasure.
All right. There's Andrew Yang. He's running for president.
I'm surprised he's not pulling higher.
I am.
$1,000 a month?
I'm not.
For everybody?
I'll be honest. Because I think even the idea, I love the idea of free stuff. Who doesn't love free stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But at $3,000 a month, I got a feeling that that's, you know.
$1,000. Unless you have three adults in your household, then it would be $3,000.
But an extra grand a month per person is, no one's going to go for that. Because you're going to have to get Amazon to decide they want to do that. There are, 400 million Americans yet? Somewhere around there, right? Just short, 380, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Let's call 400 by the time he's president. Because I got to do the math.
Because of the border.
Right. So 400 million, that would...
It's 330 right now.
All right, 330. All right, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 330 million. So you need $330 billion a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's every month. You do that. That's not just January.
No, 3.6 trillion a year.
Yeah, you need that. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot of lettuce.
Cheddar.
A lot of cheddar.
Cheddar being passed around there.
Yep.
So I could use an extra grand in my pocket a month.
Yeah, though. Kevin's for him. This could be the guy for you. He's, you know.
Take a bad hit with Nick 1 month.
Right. You see, now who really is behind this? I'll tell you who's behind it.
Casino Gamblers of America.
Yeah, right. Guys,
I got my dividend. Let's go to the track. Pronto, right. Boys. Pile in the car.
Gambling apps.
They're for it.
Right. The liquor companies.
Imagine
I'm
what you could do with $1,000.
Yeah.
Imagine.
A month. And it comes back next month, too.
Sure.
I love the idea of this.
Derby's coming up. Yeah. Imagine what I could do with $1,000.
Omaha Beach.
He pulled a good... did he do well when they pulled the positions today?
12th post.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Ask Ro if that's
not good.
Or bad.
That's not good.
Uh-oh.
It's not terrible, but it's not good.
Well, we'll be talking about that.
It's better or worser. Mm-hmm. You want to sort of be in the middle. You want to be near the rail, but not on the rail.
Like an 8 situation?
No, you want to be a like a 4 or 5. Oh, okay. Something like that. Those are good positions. 4, 5, 6. It's nice.
Well, anyways, I'm taking my full dividend and putting it on Omaha Beach this weekend.
Yeah.
You're great.
Take the $1,000 because it's eventually coming when Andrew Yang becomes president.
Right. So if I lose, I'll just consider it
you already have.
I'll tell my guy, hey, Andrew Yang's got me covered. He's my backer.
We're not going to make any fun of this because Andrew Yang it strikes me as the kind of guy who doesn't like to be disagreed with and will probably have everybody killed who does.
That's true.
Because those are the kinds of governments that do that. We're going to give you the money, but you're going to shut up and do what we tell you to do. All right. Let us check in now and find out with Kim what's happening.
Ending aldermanic prerogative. That's at the top of Marilyn Lightfoot's office on day one.
Coming up, Bob Baer, formerly of the CIA, one of the most decorated CIA officers, intelligence operatives in agency history, from the clandestine unit. And now he's out. You know, people know who he is. You see him on the TV. He wrote a book that became a movie. George Clooney played him.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows everything there is to know. And he's going to explain this Venezuela story to us.
Great.
It's important. I know what you're thinking.
Why don't I care about Venezuela?
Right, Kev? That's what Kev's just thinking to himself. Who's Venezuela? Is he in the draft? Oh, no, he's a White Sox middle-inning reliever.
He's got a great right arm. Now you should see his slider.
No.
It's pronounced Ventura. Ventura.
Close enough.
He played Once Upon a Time.
Venezuela is a country.
Totally different. Okay.
Venezuela is a country that is where Azigan's from Venezuela. That should see now. See,
he was a great export.
Does that get you too interested in the story now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Full circle.
That caught my eye. There was a wild scene there today.
So it was a wild scene there today, and there's something important going on down there because this is actually a fiat war between us and the Russians. And somehow now, some way, even though we have been trying to fight the Russians down there, we're giving in, it appears. And it's going to be interesting. Stay tuned for this. But first, we've got Kim's news in 2 minutes from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on 720 WGN. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes,
yep,
right here on 720 WGN. Bob Baer, he's one of our besties.
He is
on this program.
And the president just tweeted 3 minutes ago about the subject of Venezuela. If Cuban troops and militia do not immediately cease military and other operations for the purpose of causing death and destruction to the constitution of Venezuela, a full and complete response is on the way. Basic embargo, and he mentions, and sanctions.
Bob Baer, what do you make of this situation? Explain, give us the context of what's happening down in Venezuela.
Well, Maduro it clearly is not in total control, but the real thing, the real problem is, Guaido, is this is not the way to conduct a coup d'etat. If you've got the military behind you, it should be done in, you know, typically in a couple hours, where you surround the president, you take the radio station. I mean, I've been involved in these things. There's a way you do it. You don't take some troops, go out into the street, and hope the others follow you. Because, you know, often they won't. I mean, you really have to understand the military to pull a military coup. And that's exactly what he's trying you know, having these guys in uniform stand around him.
You know, it's interesting because you just said that, and minutes ago, too, they announced that CNN has been knocked off Venezuelan, all of the Venezuelan television sources, because they repeatedly are showing, I think they may be one of the only that keep showing that Russian, is it a tank running over protesters or appears to just sort of plow into a bunch of people protesting Maduro. They've now been pulled from the air.
It's a troop carrier. It's a troop carrier. There's a couple of troop carriers that were firing gas and stuff out of the sides, and they did. It's a pretty drastic scene as you watch them actually roll over some civilians and the protesters.
But you're not seeing the full force of this military, and nowhere near it. It seems of moving over to Guaido's position.
But we got to explain this though. Okay, so who are Maduro? Who are Guaido? I think that most Americans are like, I don't get any of this, because it's. It's Venezuela. There was an election, right? Maduro was the leader. Is not.
Well, it's a populist movement that's in control that succeeded Chavez, and it's a failed populism because everybody looted the oil and the economy's collapsed.
Rapid inflation.
Yeah, sort of, you know, they're a bit of elitists in the fact they're the old ruling classes in Venezuela. And so you've got these populists that are failing but intend to hold on until the last. And we really don't know where it's going to go because the military hasn't committed one way or another, which is unusual in South America.
And what are the Russians interested in down here?
Russians got mega deals in Venezuela, and so do the Chinese. And you also have Hezbollah there, and the Iranians. And this is sort of, you know, taking a dig at us in our backyard.
Wow. That is...
And
Cold War, you know, Central America, South America, that we're sort of back in that now, right? The idea that they want to be literally in our hemisphere and have a place to launch from our hemisphere.
You know, exactly. You know, it's a violation of the Monroe Doctrine. It's taking us head on. You know, I mean, my feeling is we should do the same thing to the Russians. You know, start supplying the Chechens with surface-to-air missiles and see how they like that.
Right. Hmm. Well, they say we already do. It's, right?
I mean, well, not... We don't. There's no covert action against Russia. I mean, this has all been one way since in their involvement in the elections in 2016. And their continual involvement in our elections. This is all one-sided. I mean, we've supported the democratic government in the Ukraine, but that's hardly covert action against Russia. In no way is it. So it's Putin is paranoid, and he's trying to, you know, take a bite out of our hide. And that's what he's doing in Venezuela.
Is it possible that this administration will let them do that?
I don't think Bolton will. I think we'll get serious about this. And I don't know, however Trump feels about Putin these days, he's not going to let the Russians set up in our backyard. It's just not going to happen. There could be a total embargo like we did on Cuba against Castro. This will not end for a while, and it won't be... It'll be messy right until the end. That's my prediction.
We saw Bolton come out today and says, we recognize Guaido as the legitimate leader. Guaido says that Maduro stole the election and that he is the rightful leader. And it sounds like the U.S. is taking the position that that is the case. But can you recognize someone when they don't have the support of the military and the protesters are just storming the streets, but he doesn't appear to have control at this point?
And Maduro would be Putin's guy, and Guaido would ostensibly be our guy.
Exactly, because Maduro detests the United States. As Chavez did. So you've got, you know, it's, but the point is the military is key at this point. I mean, the country could just descend into total chaos and then the military would break up and then you'd get something out of that, but it's unpredictable what that would be.
But culturally,
it's gone off the abyss, the economy. I mean, it's just, you know, it's, yeah. One of the biggest oil reserves in the world, and it's impoverished.
Well, Bob, I want to ask you this because, you know, we already have a humanitarian crisis in Central America. You have another one developing here in Venezuela. Venezuela is far more developed than is Honduras or Guatemala in terms of infrastructure and population, and used to have a gigantic tourism economy, right? That's kind of gone the wayside, and obviously a huge oil economy. But where can it spread? Is Colombia, parts of Brazil, are there other countries that could see significant impacts, whether it's in refugees or other kind of pathologies?
Oh, absolutely, the bordering country, because you've got so many Venezuelans fleeing, and a lot of these exiles are involved in politics, mainly from Colombia, and they would like to launch an attack on Caracas from Colombia, and the Colombians are helping them. But you could see this, you know, spreading into Colombia, for instance. And on top of what's going on in Central America, the criminality and global warming is killing the coffee beans. So, you know, we do have a southern border, whether you're pro or anti-Trump, that is boiling. And we're going to see a lot more people heading to the United States. Simply, it's life or death for them.
Right. And maybe not even using the Mexican border to get here, right? Because you've got there's a little thing called the Caribbean Sea and the Gulf of Mexico. Right, that sit between us and Venezuela, and there's, you know, and Cuba. That's the other. And before we let you go, I want to get your thought. Now, obviously, Cuba is still a bit of a client state of the Russians. So Cuba, it's sort of the Cuban show, but it's Putin directing the Cubans down there. Is that what we are to?
Well, the Cubans don't have another ally at this point. There was a rapprochement with Obama administration, but that's gone down the toilet now. So. The Cubans are looking at Moscow more and more.
Yeah,
they're going back to the old Castro days.
Right.
So I find it all fascinating that this chaos that's occurring around the world, whether it's in Iraq or Venezuela, and where does it spread? And also, it's global warming. What is that going to push these conflicts, you know, into real wars? You know, it's just hard to tell because it's such a chaotic system.
Right. And people, you know, that want to just deny and go, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. It does matter, especially in the tropics, because that's where they're seeing the greatest amount of change. They're seeing, obviously, you're seeing water level issues. You're seeing the impact, as you just pointed out, their big cash crops are harder and harder and harder to grow. And when you run out of that, and whether it's feeding your own people or feeding the world, it becomes a huge economic issue for you. Before I let you go, one more thing. This guy, al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, we finally saw him again last week, or yesterday we saw a picture that we think was taken within the last week. What does that mean for the global war on terror?
Well, what scares me is, where is he? I mean, clearly that was a serious production. You know, he has a few people around him, and he's living apparently in the open. He's basically signaling to his franchises, we're back in business. Just because Raqqa fell, the capital of the Islamic State, the caliphate, doesn't mean we're a guerrilla movement. We've gone back to being that, and, you know, pick up arms.
Yeah.
And you're just going to wait and see if anybody responds to this message. I mean, they clearly did in a sense, or they did in advance in Sri Lanka. And the more we see of that, the more we understand that it was an Islamic State operation, the training, the financing, and the rest of it.
The weapons,
it's
too.
It's all coming out now.
Yeah.
And the bomb making.
Right.
Because the bombs, what, eight of them went off, you know, out of nine or ten, and then a couple in the safe houses. So, I mean, that takes some skill and coordination, and they needed people that had actually been on the front in Syria, and that's what we saw in Sri Lanka. Now, how many more groups are out there like that, and in what countries? We simply don't know.
Well, it's as wacky as I've ever seen it. It just, around the world, it does feel like it's pre apocalyptic in a lot of ways, in terms of, you know, like it was in the early part of the 20th century, in the mid part of the 20th century. You feel like there's going to be a series of events.
2020, there's going to be such that the possibility of a secular apocalypse is going to be here. And that could be the environment or these wars that are small now spreading.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a happy thought on a rainy, awful day here in Chicago. Bob Bear, you're still my best friend. I love you. Thank you for being
here. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
Love hearing from you.
All right, bye.
He always leaves me a little more scared than I was moments ago.
Yeah. I love him, though. Listen, the guy knows his stuff. And you want guys like that on the wall.
You do.
Right? If you just could go back to that notion, you don't want a guy who's going, hey, this is fine.
Yeah, it's all good. Don't worry.
Right. You want a guy who's going to give you, here's your worst case scenario.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, coming up also this hour, you think that was weird? You think that made you think, oh my God, what are we doing? Wait till you hear this.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the kissing bug?
A little bit. It's pretty scary.
Coachella fans are.
It's what you need to know. The kissing bug.
Ew.
I think I've got this, by the way.
You might.
I think I got kissed by the kissing bug or bugged by the kissing bug. What did you get? What happens
well,
here?
Some, you would know, I think.
I think I do know.
Okay.
Does it itch or burn?
Both. That shouldn't be good, right?
It shuts down your organs. How are your organs right now?
I think they're shutting down. They appear to be shutting down.
But it's not the kiss of the bug that's what is bad when it poops on you.
Oh, God.
All right,
Kim.
I'm sorry, it's true.
You're gonna have to
need a nicer name than, you know, the pooping bug.
Right, so that's why they call it the kissing bug.
Exactly.
Right, because the pooping bug, people go, I don't want to be around the pooping bug.
Well,
it's got a good, you know what, it has a good PR guy. It's got a guy.
Totally.
Bubby, darling, sweetheart, listen, this pooping bug is a very bad brand. Let's go kissing bug. I would go with sexing bug, but you know, it's too much for the families.
PG here.
All right. Harvey Weinstein called me. He wanted to call it something else. I think that's a bad idea,
too. Yeah. Don't listen to him.
I'm picturing a new emoji.
Yeah. All right. Can I? You know what? I got to get out of this. But we will talk to a real expert on this issue coming up right after the news of the bottom of the hour. What's coming up with the news of the bottom of the hour, Kim?
Well, we do have an uplifting story. We'll bring you part one of Steve Bertrand's series, Adjusting the Focus.
All right. The traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Coming out to WGN TV's White Sox Weather Day. It's May 14th. It's with Tom Skilling. See Skilling's presentation followed by White Sox Indians. Tickets available at whitesox.com/WGN. That's a day at the ballpark.
And this week, all this week, we have your chance to win tickets to Thursday's White Sox game as they take on the Red Sox. Wicked hot. It's wicked hot. The tickets will be given away by Kevin Powell. Kevin?
K. Powell.
I'm here.
K. Powell. And Lauren Lapka. We have not come up with a nickname for her yet because I'm afraid
cool.
to do it.
What did you say?
My name isn't cool.
We got to come up with a nickname.
But I'm afraid because, you know, she is the editor of the show. That's what we should really call
her. She calls you out.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And they're going to be sampling CH Vodka and special cocktails before the game. CH Vodka, Chicago's hometown vodka, handmade using organic Illinois grains. Give it a try and taste why many Chicagoans proudly call CH Vodka their vodka of choice. Chicago hometown vodka. And we got a special little trick that we're going to do on Thursday.
You guys, the
Kevin and Lauren are going to be out at Cork and Carry at the park, right? That's where they're going to be giving away the tickets and serving the CH vodka. And then we're all going to be going to the game together. How's that going to happen? There might be a magic trick involved.
Whoa.
Ooh, I love magic.
Me too.
We figured that out.
You're right.
What do my interests give that away?
Let's see. We got Star Wars, Game of Thrones, magic.
Yeah,
Does that surprise anyone?
Yeah, no, it really doesn't. No, it really doesn't. All right, good.
It's easy to throw a birthday party for me.
right. And we do know magicians are all creepy, but we know them. All right, stand by. Don't anybody move. We got the news in 1 minute. Cheers. See what we did there? Because we're going to talk about the kissing bug?
Ew, not the same, though.
Cares.
This is the kissing bug that poops on you.
Creepy DJ definitely got the kissing bug at some point with a listener.
I tell you, that does not go away. And it pops up at the absolute worst times.
Jeez.
I think this is something different.
Yeah, totally different.
And we have a real professor. We have a real person. from Texas A&M, which, you know, when if you want to get into this kind of science, no better place on earth than Texas A&M for this kind of a thing.
Totally true. The bugs they have in Texas, have you seen them?
They know what they're doing down there. So Sarah Hamer is with us. And Sarah, thank you very much for being with us. And we're going to try to make this as painless as possible, although I do not promise it.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so now I heard about this yesterday. I got to say, as a hypochondriac and as a man of science myself, I'm shocked that I'm so far blissfully unaware of this. But then I started hearing details and my mind slammed shut when I heard the details. I don't want to think about the details of what this is. Explain for everyone here who may not be familiar, what is the kissing bug?
Yeah, sure, I'm happy to. A lot of people are familiar with mosquitoes or ticks, but there's less familiarity with kissing bugs. But like mosquitoes and ticks, they're blood-sucking vectors. So these are insects that require taking blood meals from a live host in order to survive. And so they are drawn in to feed on humans or animals. They feed for a couple minutes. They engorge with blood. And then they have all the nutrients that they need to go on to their next life stage or mate or lay eggs. And we're paying a lot of attention to them now because while they're blood feeding or shortly after, they can transmit a parasite that can cause Chagas disease in humans and animals. And this can show as a heart disease, and it can make people and animals really sick. So there's a lot of attention to kissing bugs now just because they are able to transmit this parasite that can make people sick.
Okay, now you said that in a really nice and rather clinical way. But my understanding of this is that where are they feeding from when they're getting their blood meal?
Well, they can feed anywhere on a host that they can get access to. So if that's a human being sleeping in their bed at night, they might be feeding around the face just because that's the area that's exposed. They might feed on dogs, on wildlife.
So they go to the skin like a tick or a bed bug or anything else would go to. The bed bug is benign because it's not a vector, it doesn't transmit disease necessarily. But this is the same kind of concept though, is it's getting in there. Did I hear this right, that it sometimes will get in your mouth and feed?
They can feed around the mouth. I don't know about inside the mouth, but certainly wherever there's exposed skin.
Okay, yeah. And then what happens is the parasite that it transmits this parasite by pooping. Am I right about that?
You are absolutely right. So it's not the act of blood feeding.
This is really awful.
I think you're freaking out there. It's not the blood feeding that causes the problem, but rather if the insect defecates while it's blood feeding or shortly after blood feeding.
Don't worry. This happens all the time when we talk to medical professionals, so it's totally normal.
Okay.
This is absolutely yes, right.
Okay.
But so is it the size of a mosquito? Is it something that just sort of, does it feel like a mosquito? Would you notice it if it was biting you?
I've never been bit by one before, but I've been in contact with plenty of people who have, and often they won't notice they're being bit. These insects have a remarkable ability. While they're blood feeding, they can deposit into the skin different chemicals and compounds so that we can't feel the bite, because that's in the insect's best advantage. It's when they defecate that the parasite, the infectious stage of the parasite that lives within the insect, can be excreted. If that comes in contact with the bite wound or with a mucous membrane, then the host can become infected.
Did you hear that? Excretion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard excretion and mucus. I heard the word mucus on top of it. All right, so now what kind of sickness can we get from this parasite?
Acute illness can present like the flu or just mild sickness that you might not really appreciate or might not pinpoint that this is something unique or that this is Chagas disease. And then humans can go many years, even decades, after they're infected until they might develop a chronic disease. And it's usually heart disease, so there's different forms of heart disease that can result. And again, this can happen many years after infection. And so at this point, we might not be thinking about Chagas disease because it's been so long since you had exposure to an insect.
And Chagas disease, as it pertains to the heart, is like a weakening of the heart muscle. What is it?
Yeah, it can be enlargement of the heart. It can be failure of the heart. There's a lot of different types of heart disease that can manifest based on where the parasite is infecting the heart tissue.
Oh, my God!
Sounds horrible. Is it? So we're hearing the CDC is warning that it's spread into many states, and including Illinois. Is it confirmed to be in Illinois now?
Kissing bugs occur in Illinois. In fact, they're found in over 25 of the southern states.
Does it fly?
They've been reported in Illinois. It's not new that the kissing bugs are in Illinois. They've been there.
Is it like southern Illinois, I hope? Or is it like up in northern Illinois?
I'm not sure regionally where in Illinois, but that is one of the more northern states that that kissing bugs have been documented.
So is it, does the cold, I mean, are we protected by the fact that we got the polar vortex here? I mean, is that good for us?
Or that we just had snow last weekend? Did that help us?
Yeah, we're not sure what the limiting factors are, but certainly these kissing bugs are associated with warmer climates.
Yeah.
I'm here in Texas, and we have them all over the state where they, you know, thrive and do quite well, probably due to our warm temperatures.
And
here.
How big are they?
These are large. So the adult kissing bugs, mm-hmm. depending on species, can be about an inch long. They're large, dark.
Oh, my God! Oh. An inch long? Like a cockroach? Like that? Like that size?
And
yep.
Oh, my God! Oh,
don't worry about
on.
It. He's just having a freakout session.
Oh,
it's going to be fine.
Oh.
Do they live in your house, or are they kind of crawling in or flying in just for the opportunity to like get in the window or something and bite you and leave?
Yeah. Fortunately, the species of kissing bugs that we have in the United States typically don't set up shop and reproduce and colonize the houses in the same way that the kissing bug species do in Central and South America.
Oh,
and
that's
Mexico.
Good news. Wait till the Maduro government falls.
They're mostly associated with wildlife. They live out in the natural environment, but occasionally will disperse and come into human homes, drawn into the lights, drawn into unsealed windows or getting in through the door.
And again,
there they can encounter people.
They fly?
Yeah, the adults fly.
The adults fly. The kids walk. That's good news.
So the inch longers are flying. Good. Good to know.
Kids, you're going to have to walk to our host. Mom and Dad are flying. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. How pervasive do we think this infection, this vectored infection is? I mean, how, would it be like West Nile? It's one, you know, in like 100,000 or one in 50,000. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, fortunately, human Chagas disease from exposure to kissing bugs in the United States is a very rare event. And that's just because, like I was saying, these kissing bugs don't really get into our houses. They don't build in large numbers, so people don't encounter them as much. But there's increasing awareness for local disease transmission. When we do a lot of work with these kissing bugs, we collect them from the environment. We have people mail them into us. And when we test them for infection with the Chagas parasite, we find about half of them are infected.
Oh.
So, you know, a decent percentage of them in nature are infected. But they don't pose an immediate risk to people.
How are they infected? Is it from, what are they doing that's getting them infected?
Yeah, the kissing bugs are all hatched from eggs uninfected. So they need to encounter and feed on an infected host in order to first pick up the infection.
Oh, so they're picking up the parasite somewhere
else. Yeah.
Is it getting it from a bird? What are they getting it from?
Not birds, but different wild mammals or even domestic mammals can serve as sources of this parasite infection.
Oh, my God.
Right. So they first have to feed and get infected, and then they can infect it through their feces.
Okay.
And then can you, like, see the feces? Can you, like, flick it off your body? Is that something you could do?
No, I don't think that people would necessarily notice the
listen, the thing's an inch long.
Them.
All right, hold on. I just want to give.
I would think its feces would be visible.
I want to give you a certain perspective on this. The thing is an inch long.
Uh-huh.
And we're, you know, let's call ourselves 5 feet six, right? So if you want to think about that, shrink 5 feet six down to 1 inch and then think about feces for just a second. Think, are you going to be able to see that? I don't think so.
Well, it's dark. I mean, maybe you'd see it.
What, is it
could
what,
help you a lot
it,
oh, if you're able to get
dark,
rid of it.
When it's dark, is it, does it glow in the dark? I don't think so. I am sickened by this conversation.
It's so gross.
I'm afraid
it's so gross.
Of everything that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. I think Sarah has done a very excellent job explaining this.
Excellent.
Do the kids have any questions?
I'm terrified.
Are we doomed?
Is there repellent?
Yeah. All right. Is there repellent?
There's no insecticide. pesticide that is specifically labeled to be effective against kissing bugs, but a lot of products that are on the market, you know, would probably work if you, you know, apply them according to the label or work with certified pest control applicators to do so.
Oh, look at that. All right. Okay. Okay. Okay, you know what? I know this is not what you expected your day to end up like, Sarah, but thank you very much for doing it anyway. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your interest.
Thanks
Sarah.
Yes. She's going to go back she's in a lab coat right now. She's turning around to the rest of the people in the lab coat at Texas A&M and going, "You're not going to believe the jag dork I was just talking to on the radio. They say they're on the radio. That guy's not on the radio."
That's so crazy in Chicago, aren't they?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was legitimately freaked out by you.
I'm legitimately freaked out. I mean, these things have been around forever.
Yeah, now they're just half of the population is infected. And they crawl around your eyes and mouth while you're sleeping. It's just the most horrifying thing.
Okay. I got to get a picture of one of these things.
Well, they're an inch long. That's bigger than I thought. I've seen all the creepy pictures that they blow up, you know, everywhere.
Like, because, like, bed bugs and things, like other feeders, like, like mosquitoes, sometimes you don't see any, they're so small. Or
kind of feel them, maybe, yeah, but not
you
totally
hear
too
them,
late.
The ones that make a lot of noise. And then the bed bugs, that's, you know, not a big deal. Now, the bed bug, it turns out to be the nicest of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The bed bug doesn't do anything except stain your sheets. And,
it's,
you know,
really hard to get rid of.
I'm good at doing that myself. I don't need the bug to help me.
But this one's one to watch out for.
Oh, God. All right. I got to go.
Yeah.
All right. Kim, what's going on?
The State Review Board expected to make a decision today on whether or not to close Westlake Hospital.
Lawrence Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. I just found out, I was looking at the kissing bug, you're asking how do you identify it.
Mm-hmm.
It's recognized by its cone-shaped head, thin antenna, and thin legs. I think I used to date her.
Oh, God.
Every species found in the U.S. is mainly black or very dark brown with red, orange, or yellow stripes. Yes, definitely.
Sounds familiar to you?
Definitely dated her, yes. Chagas disease is mainly transmitted to humans through the infected fecal material of the kissing bug.
Yuck.
Okay, that I am so definitely gross. Never listening to this show again.
You were completely and totally freaked out.
Oh, my God.
By her explaining.
Oh, my God.
Is your skin crawling?
Oh, my God. Crawling.
No. Ew.
Okay. Coming up. The stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and it comes your way in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Any signs of any kissing bugs anywhere? Now we know what to look for.
I
1 inch long, really gross looking, with the orange or red stripes. Fly, bite you.
I don't want to think about it.
Then they poop in your mouth, and then you get heart disease. These are the things that you need to know about the kissing bug.
Half of them are infected, though.
Half of them are infected.
So you just don't want to run into any of them.
Whatever. Screw these bugs. I'm not afraid of them.
No?
No. Oh, okay.
Suddenly you're tough.
Okay,
I'm
tough guy.
I'm just tired of hearing people crying about them. Stupid kissing
bugs.
He's
going to be the first to go.
Right, and right. That's the one. It was like, you know, in Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh.
It's like the guys
I'm not
like,
worried
oh,
about
watch
them.
Watch this. Hold my sword and watch this.
Yeah. I'm just going to ride my horse right into him.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
So what's going to happen? Oops. All right. That's exactly what happened to Dothraki. You know, you should have been in Dothraki.
Kevin would have definitely been in Dothraki.
Call Kevin.
Been in what?
Exactly.
Don't worry about it.
You shouldn't.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
Okay. Now, we talked about this a little bit earlier on. This is not funny. Unfortunately, we'll get back to the funny here starting at number four. But this is a crazy story in Venezuela where, and we talked about Bear, formerly the CIA, who says that this is a very serious situation because this is a war that is breaking out, a civil war that is breaking out in Venezuela between forces of the former president who's trying to hold on to power versus the elected president who is backed by the United States, the former president's backed by Russia through the Cubans, and the Iranians who are helping the Russians, who are the Russians are helping them in Venezuela. And basically, they're trying to set up camp in our hemisphere. And that's something we've been trying to keep from not happening for essentially 150 years.
Right.
Almost 200 years. And the issue that we have is that there's great civil unrest. However, Maduro was calling it a coup. He's the current fake president.
Well, the one
the Russian guys
who Guaido says stole the election, and he's right. So Maduro is illegitimate.
And Fox News and a bunch of other news organizations are now reporting that Maduro was ready to leave Venezuela before the Russians convinced him to stay.
Isn't that Secretary of State Pompeo said there was a plane on the tarmac. Maduro was set to leave the country, which would have paved the way for Guaido to take power. But the Russians said, no, you should stay.
Here's what John Bolton said.
This is clearly not a coup. We recognize Juan Guaido as the legitimate interim president of Venezuela. And just as it's not a coup when the president of the United States gives an order to the Department of Defense, it's not a coup for Juan Guaido to try and take command of the Venezuelan military. We want, as our principal objective, the peaceful transfer of power. But I will say again, as the president has said from the outset, and that Nicolas Maduro and those supporting him, particularly those who are not Venezuelan, should know, is all options are on the table.
All right.
Boy.
All right.
Team Maduro, by the way, Russia, China, Turkey, and Iran, all supporting Maduro.
Not sure. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm just missing Saudi Arabia in that to make it like a complete.
Right?
And North Korea. Where's North Korea on this? Are they in it?
They haven't spoken for it yet, I'd imagine.
I am totally in love with that little Chinese guy from North Korea. Love him. All right, checking in at
number four.
Not funny either, as it turns out. I thought, trust me, when you get to 3, 2, and 1, then we're going to have some funny. As the weather's getting warmer, the city's getting ready for crime sprees, right? Because that's what happens in the city and during the summer months. And there's an uptick in violence in gang-infested neighborhoods. There's an uptick in civil disturbance downtown, all those kinds of things going on. So Eddie Johnson, superintendent of the police, he met with Mayor-elect Lightfoot today, and he's outlined some of the safety plans.
Three key components of our initiative include the discretionary deployment of bike teams in entertainment districts and high foot traffic areas, the summer CTA unit to enhance the mass transit presence, so that's a newly created unit, and summer mobile patrol to high priority areas to address crime at a citywide level, regardless of the district or area boundaries.
Okay. Some of those have been tried in the past. See if they.
Boy, you hope they're successful. It just seems like we're off to, you know, not a great start. But as the weather gets warm, as you point out, Ro, it just you need a plan. So I give credit to Mayor-elect Lightfoot for sitting down and saying this is the priority as we move forward.
He was asked if he feels pressure from the new mayor.
Look, I've been a cop for 31 years, so pressure really doesn't play into it at all. You know, at the end of the day, you have to stay on the path that you think will help reduce crime in this city. It's no secret or silver, or you can't wave a magic wand to reduce crime. It just doesn't work like that. But as far as I go, you know, all I can do is continue to be the superintendent, do what I think is best, keep the mayor-elect as well as Mayor Emanuel informed about what we're doing and why we're doing it, you know, and just keep moving forward. You know, I don't worry about things like that because I can't control that.
That's right, it can't. I mean, Mayor-elect Lightfoot said she'll keep him at least through the summer, which means that what happens this summer, no doubt, will have an impact on his position within the department moving forward.
But he did say this, which I think a lot of people say, and it's interesting to hear lifelong Chicagoan superintendent, guy who's, you know, from this city, say these words.
You know, we assume because we may have come from good homes that everybody does and that everybody knows how to be a parent. That's just not true. You know, and I think as a society, when we see somebody that's struggling as with something as that might seem so simple as being a parent, that's not simple. You know, and when we see them struggling, we should reach back and try to help them. Because I think it was Jackie Kennedy that said, if you fail at being a parent, no failure in life will be as important. And I believe that. You know, our issues oftentimes start at home. You know, so if we can get our homes straightened out, then we get our block straightened out. You get your block straightened out, then you get your community straightened out. You get all the community straightened out, then you get your city straightened out.
Tall order.
Great point.
But an important point. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, we have some breaking news. We're getting reports of a shooting at the University of North Carolina in Charlotte.
After last week's battle in Baltimore, the Sox host the O's on the South Side. Expect fireworks tonight at 7 on WGN-TV. Oh, wait. That's all changed.
Wait.
That's the Sox hosting on the South Side tonight. Which
they're not.
Is not happening. They're so not. We'll just
we got rain,
pretend that never happened.
We got fog.
It's a double header tomorrow.
Yes. We'll be on the World Wide Web tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock. You can go to WGNradio.com. You can use the WGN app for your phone. You can go to TuneIn, or you can go to iHeart, find WGN Radio, and we'll be right there. Entertaining. And the show gets dirty and weird when we're not on the radio.
Very wacky.
Mm-hmm. Very wacky, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right? K-Pera. He's not even there.
He's not there.
He walked abandoned.
Away. Why did he do that?
He got bit by the kissing bug.
Why would he do that? There
checking
he is.
Checking for poop from the kissing bug on his body.
He was just standing outside, away from his microphone, and he was like shaking the kissing bug poop out of his hair. That was really weird.
Check the mouth and the eyes, Kevin. That's
Jesus,
where they like to go.
Are grossing me out.
Your heart doesn't look too good right now, Kev. Are you feeling okay?
Okay, all right. We're just talking about it on the World Wide Web show that we'll be doing tomorrow. It gets a little wacky. Would you agree with that?
Kev?
Oh, yeah.
what is Kev doing? Is Kev working on a podcast in there?
I'm so disgusted something else going on? By this kissing bug story. It's creeping me out.
He's got his side gig.
He does.
Technical difficulties. I'll just put it that way.
Oh,
okay. All right.
All right. We'll accept that.
I need a stress ball in here. I think I have one somewhere.
Well, Cisco, let me tell you what we're working on right now. In the sports center. All right, here we go. Checking in at
number three.
All right. I guess it's good news for fans of Empire. The show is coming back for season 6. Bad news, sort of, for Jussie Smollett. He's not going to be back on the show. Fox has just announced that his character, they have no plans to keep his character moving forward here. But they're still going to pay him for another season. What?
That doesn't make sense.
What is he doing?
When was this extension negotiated? After?
Just, I mean, recently.
Remember he had lunch meetings, I think, in New York. He was spotted with the Empire execs and the guys who make the decisions.
Do they watch the news?
I bet what they're doing here is hedging their bets because there's still the civil case from the city of Chicago. They're suing them for the cost of the investigation. They want to see how things shake out, and who knows?
Maybe. So they're going to pay him.
Keep him there.
Wrapped up.
This guy does everything wrong, and yet somehow
it works out.
I know.
How is that fair?
Frustrating and infuriating. Mm.
They're going to try and drive me nuts. All right, go ahead, play it. This is Jussie Smollett as Jamal.
Look, Derek, I asked you to come over here because I wanted to tell you in person. I'm working with a new producer on my album, Tori Ash. You know her, she's dope.
So what's up with us, man?
Come on, Derek, man. There is no us. We done hooked up a bunch of times, and most of those times I was high. I'm clear and sober now. Well, you're still in the closet anyway. Main part of my recovery is truth and honesty, and that's definitely not you.
Oh. Right. Truth and honesty.
That's what he's about.
Still clean. Truth and honesty. That's what he is. Oh my God.
Number two.
Pete Davidson is going to war with a comedy club. Now, why? Because the club owner was told, hey, I'm going to play at your comedy club by Pete Davidson. I'm going to play your comedy club, but you cannot mention Ariana Grande or Kate Beckinsale. And I suppose, now this was new to me today, and I'm completely shocked and dismayed, but apparently Pete and Kate Beckinsale are no longer together.
That's a shame. I really thought they had a long-term future ahead of them.
Yeah.
What was that, 2 weeks?
Three? Now,
just long enough to promote her upcoming series.
Great makeout, which is session great, at a actually. Hockey game.
Right. Right. They made out at a hockey game because...
on the floor seats.
Was it Netflix or whoever was dropping their... it was dropping her new series or Amazon Prime.
Weren't they
right?
at a basketball game too? Or no? Just the hockey game?
I think they were just making out at a hockey
game. Okay. All right. It was very
Kate
public.
Kate Beckinsale, however. A well-known hockey fan, of course.
She's English, right?
Hello. See, it's awfully frigid, isn't it, down here?
The pitch is a bit cold today.
This is exactly why is it, in fact, that they're on the ice? This is like football on ice. I don't understand. And they have sticks. I don't know why she sounds like the queen, but she does, ooh. Oh, Pete, your tongue is so thick.
Oh, God. So he was going to play at a comedy club. Thanks, Lauren. Bringing it back to where it belongs. Because we know where that's going.
Right? Right. Anyway, so the deleting.
So the point is that the guy who owned the comedy club got up and he started making fun of Pete and saying, hey, well, he was trying to, he said, all right, I don't want any hecklers here because if you mention Ariana Grande or Kate Beckinsale, Pete's going to walk.
On no way in the world would I ever disrespect any comedian. If Pete Davidson, I didn't disrespect you. Your security guy told me to say what I said. And if you got a bad security guy, you should have fired your security guy. You s**t on everybody here. You s**t on everybody here, Pete. And I went back in that room and I asked you what you wanted. And you did not. You were not disrespected.
Woo.
That's Vinny.
Hey, Vinny.
Club owner. Oh, God. Is there more Vinny? Is there
more Vinny? No. That's all Vinny had to say.
Okay. Oh man, he's not happy. All right,
I don't get the whole Pete Davidson thing. It's like he makes fun of himself, but then if he gets made fun of him, he seems to get really upset and depressed. It's like, what angle are you going for, man?
He's very sensitive.
He's very sensitive,
and he has a completely thick tongue.
He says the security guard told him to say it. The club owner says that.
And I think his tongue might be a little hairy too.
Oh, it's kind of gross. Oh,
I don't get Pete Davidson, man. I mean, the funny thing is, it's become like sport to date him because you're going to get massive. It's Beauty and the Beast. All these beautiful women, if they're seen in his company, then they're immediately going to sell their albums or their movies or their Netflix shows or whatever it happens to be.
Classic PR move.
Yeah.
But somehow Pete Davidson landed that role for all the men
humanity.
Out there. He's that guy.
So he's thinking about now who's got a movie coming out soon.
Right.
And he just hangs out and it's
just
like
kind of lingers
right.
around their condo.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's got a Hulu series dropping soon.
I'll go get hang up by her.
I know the doorman. Maybe he can introduce me to her.
Oh God. Taron Egerton's got that Elton John movie coming out. Maybe that would kind of work. All right, let's see what goes on. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Find the world premiere of Avengers Endgame, which has obliterated box office records around the world. It's currently targeted, by the way, to challenge Avatar's status as the top grossing movie of all times.
Ooh.
It probably will take that down. So Josh Brolin, who is Thanos, took a seat at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he chatted with the host about what, even though he couldn't reveal much about the Avengers, he did have a cool story about his mom and her pet chimpanzee.
Hmm.
She fell in love with this animal, which was a chimpanzee named Reggie. So she used to watch Schwarzenegger movies with Reggie. And so because of watching these movies, she put him in the cage. She went and did something. She drove away. There was a guy who came, a ranch hand, to come and fix the chicken coop. And while he was fixing the chicken coop, suddenly he heard shots ringing out. And he went completely face down. Well, Reggie had worked himself out of the cage, gone down to the truck, and where I'm from, everybody has a rifle in the back of their truck. Because of the Schwarzenegger films, he knew how to chamber a bullet.
Oh, God.
And he sees Reggie holding it in his hip.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I wonder if John Fox's pet monkey, Gidget.
I know. I wish Gidget knew how to chamber a bullet. Still be alive today. She would have shot my brother dead, and that would have made all the sense in the world.
Could have been kind of dangerous, though, to have to jump with the shooting abilities.
I'm assuming that Josh Brolin is not talking about Barbara Streisand there.
Right.
As
I was
his mother
the
with
same
the chimpanzee.
Thing, not the stepmom. Because I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
She's got a cute little dog. You've met the dog, haven't you?
Yeah. The dog peed right in front of me.
Animals have that reaction. Yes, so they memorable.
It was, right. It was a very memorable moment when Barbara Streisand's dog looked at me, walked up to me, looked up at me, and then just peed on the carpet. All right. Let's. You know what? You got to go.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Sure.
The top five at five.
All right, that music can mean only one thing.
We know that's true.
A congressman of the official district of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, he only represents us. He does not represent an actual district.
I think he'd probably contest that.
I prefer that. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, the star of stage and screen and all of the rest, is joining us. And a serious question, let me ask you your thoughts on the situation in Venezuela. We are now being told that Maduro, and you were one of the first guys to raise an alarm. In the middle of all like the Mueller report coming out, you went out and go, hey, I know there's like people want to know about the Mueller report, but this Venezuela situation is big.
Yeah, it's real.
So Maduro was the guy who they claim stole the election, who's the Russian puppet, essentially. He was all planned to get on an airplane and leave the country today, and the Russians talked him out of it, according to Mike Pompeo. What do you know about that?
Yeah, that's pretty... I saw this when you guys did, it was probably 20 minutes ago. And look, I know Mike Pompeo well, and I'm going to tell you he's not going to say that if it's not true. That's pretty incredible, the fact that this morning... Maduro was ready to leave. He was ready to get sanctuary, I guess, and he was looking for Cuba or Nicaragua or something. Probably Nicaragua was next to go, so I'm sure he wasn't going to go there. But and the fact that, you know, the Russians basically then kind of did the old, hey, let's surround him and quote-unquote convince him that it's in his best interest to stay. And I think that's a very important part in this is, you know, when we talk about what is actually at stake here, like some people try to turn this into a Republican-Democrat thing. It's not, okay? Some people try to, you know, it's not this. This is the Russians trying to have a piece of the Western Hemisphere, the Chinese. The Chinese shut the internet down today and basically sitting here saying, you can't leave because it's in our interest for you to stay. So this is, we should all be rooting for the legitimate government of Venezuela to win, and this will set Central Latin America on the right path for a while. And last I want to say is this quickly. When we see all this, you know, this immigration crisis or this you know, these refugees, and we talked about that, who cares what you think about the wall? That's not important. What matters, though, is people are fleeing failed countries, are fleeing corrupt countries. If we have countries that listen to the will of the people that aren't corrupt, you're not going to have this problem because people will want to stay in the country they were born in. So it's pretty, it's just there's so much at stake right now. It's unbelievable.
All right, we're going to have to fix your phone, unfortunately. I don't know how.
What's wrong with my phone now?
I don't know.
Is it better?
It's crackling.
It's like crackling,
it feels,
kicking in and kicking
like
out. You're on a landline, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's Congress, so who knows?
I believe it's the Russians listening
in. It could be the Russians.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, the Russians, even the Russians don't realize, just put on 720 AM.
Yeah, that's
You'll
it.
Hear this.
That's all you have to do. Is it any better now?
No. Can you move phones? Can we call you in one second?
Yeah, you know what? I can try to call you back. I'll call you back on a cell phone, I guess.
All right.
What's this? Is this any better?
Can we hear you now?
Yeah, let me try it now. Anything? Nothing?
It just goes in and out.
Okay, let me just try it again.
All right. Call us back on the cell phone.
Take two. I'll do that again.
There he goes. Congressman Kinzinger calling us back on the cell phone. This is like when you're talking to your brother from across the country. Hey, your phone's breaking up. Call me back.
How come the people whose phones are breaking up can never hear that their own phones are breaking up? Have you noticed that?
No, he's making
this. Thought it was fine.
He was making a speech. That's why. Because he was on a roll. I'm like that, too. I have no idea if it's working
it's
or
like,
not.
It's like, I can't hear you.
Once I'm on a roll, I don't care.
I hear this is better.
Yes, that's better. All right, there you go.
Okay. Well, it's the government. You can blame the government, not me. It's their phone.
Yeah, I would. I'd like to blame the government for a lot of things right now. But
right.
So Venezuela is a big deal.
Yeah.
You think that that is going to send a little bit of a different perspective about whether Russia is, you know, look, representing our interests very well? Because I think there's a lot of people in the country who are like, well, who cares about Russia? Russia is a malign actor, are they not?
Yeah, they are. And it's not even just the Russians, the Chinese. They all have their own interests. And they've looked at this and said, look, with Venezuela, so we have to do a bit of history here. So Cuba used to be their sugar daddy was the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union falls. Cuba needed a new sugar daddy, and they turned to Venezuela. Venezuela became their sugar daddy because now, you know, they had oil money. So then Venezuela, Maduro takes over. You had the declining oil revenue in Venezuela prior with Chavez, but Maduro comes in, and the guy drove a bus. That was his job before he became basically dictator, and he puts all his friends in charge of the oil company. Oil revenues start collapsing. Obviously, Venezuela, which used to be the richest country in South America, begins falling. And now, all of a sudden, Cuba loses sugar daddy number two. So Cuba, we believe they have 25,000 troops right now in Venezuela, basically surrounding Maduro. And Russia looks at this whole thing and goes, okay, Cuba, Venezuela, both are big interests in this hemisphere, are both about to fail. It's important that we get involved. So look, this is... Russia is a malign actor. They want nothing more than to have a piece of our hemisphere. And by the way, we have to keep the military option on the table, because if there's anywhere that the military should be on the table, it's in our own hemisphere that we've neglected for so long.
What is a military activity? What does that look like in terms of dealing with this situation where there's an illegitimate ruler and the United States doesn't recognize that person, but the guy they do recognize doesn't seem to have the military support and no clear path to getting in power?
So that's the key, is he doesn't appear to have the military support right now. And the reason is not because the military hates him. It's because the military gets paid by Maduro. And I'll tell you, that's what's in their interest, is how to protect my family. If you're a soldier in the military, you're looking at it and going, gee, I got to pay the bills for my family. So I think the United States having a legitimate military option on the table and a show of force. A show of force can be things like taking over the airspace of Venezuela, making sure people see American jets over Venezuela, having military pre-positioned in Colombia, for instance, or Curacao, moving aid into the country. What that does is it makes it clear to the Venezuelan military that they don't want to be on the receiving end of a U.S. military intervention. And I actually think that makes it way more likely that the military turns against Maduro and with the people of Venezuela, and we never find ourselves in a shooting war in the first place.
Okay, so you have to convince the military. Is what you have to do. Now, Bob Baer was on with us a couple of hours ago. You know who he is, formerly of the CIA, and he talked about how it does appear that some of the intel has been faulty here in terms of understanding that our strategy at the moment does not take into account that, and neither does Guaido, the guy who's doing this, trying to get certain elements of the military to go along with him, because he doesn't have the entire military going along with him. A military coup is when you got the lead generals telling all their guys, we're going this way. You don't have a couple generals over here and a couple generals over there. You got to have consensus in the ranking class in a military institution, especially in, sort of that third world ascendant third world kind of a country, right? Because often the military class are all related to each other in some way,
right?
So right. His uncle or grandfather or whatever, right? So that's where you've got to find a way to make sure that you've got everybody sort of squared away. And I don't know that you necessarily have had that happen in Venezuela yet. And you know, you hate to think that we're coming to this a little late or flat-footed, because you do, as we've known, the Chinese have been there and the Russians are there and Hezbollah is there. The Iranians are there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody and all those guys are getting together. And that also has to give us a little bit of pause about how we're dealing with the rest of the world here, and specifically the Russians. And I'll take you to this question. What are we going to do about the Russians? What is Congress doing about the Russians not interfering or trying to at least push back on their interference in our elections?
Yeah, well, so that's okay. This is a whole bunch of things. Let me just say on a couple of that. The question of Venezuela is this a coup? And this is going to sound like I'm splitting hairs. This is not a coup. This is the legitimate government of Venezuela pushing out the illegitimate
dictator. John Bolton said,
dictator.
I agree with him there, too.
Yeah, and so the point on that, though, is so you don't have to, if you're going to do a coup and you're going to overthrow a legitimate government, you do need the whole military. In this case, you just have to have morality and the people on your side, which he does.
Yeah, but you still need the military to go with you. You do still need the military to go.
And that's why I think everything we understand is they're on the verge of it, but they need to know that this is serious, right? The other thing is, on the Russian situation, yes, I agree with you 100%. We need to be more clear about the fact that the Russians want to interfere on the election. The Russians do interfere on our elections. Undermining democracy is the interference of the elections. And so we need to confront them both in that, which is making it clear that it's happening and admitting it, so that people understand what misinformation is and disinformation, going on the offense against Russians. So let's do a little of the same thing they do to us in Russia, because that's the biggest fear of Vladimir Putin, is losing his own power base. And then continue to confront them on the energy thing, which I think we're doing really well, which is right now they have two sovereign wealth funds. One's already drained. The other's about halfway gone because oil is so low right now that they just can't afford to continue to sustain. So there's a lot of areas to confront them. But I think the first thing is being very clear that it's actually happening.
With Russia's involvement at such a high level, including what Secretary of State Pompeo said, that they, you know, there was a jet ready to take Maduro out of his country and, you know, the legitimate ruler would have taken over, but Russia intervened. The president an hour ago said only really called out Cuba, asking them to cease military actions, or there will be sanctions, or there'll be an embargo, or there'll be some sort of reaction. Did not call out Russia.
Well, I don't think there's anything to read into that, because I'll tell you, I've met with the president in the Oval Office, and he mentions Russia a number of times. But I think the reality is Russia has maybe a few hundred troops there, or Wagner Group people there, maybe a little more than that. The Cubans have 25,000 military right now in Venezuela.
Yeah, but they're not going to do anything Putin doesn't tell them to do.
Aren't they backed by...
Yeah. Yeah, right. But I think the point is, look, the Cubans, don't get involved, because like we have an immediate ability to blockade your country. We can't threaten a blockade, obviously, against Russia or anything else. So I don't think it's a lack of, you know, not wanting to confront Russia. I just think it was Cuba's the near term threat. And I've talked to folks in the administration that say that they've been hoping, you know, in essence, this whole day that there would be a confrontation against Cuba, verbally at least, to call out the act that they're playing.
All right. And one more thing right before we let you go. The infrastructure plan. We're going to start with fixing the phones in Congress. $2 trillion. Chuck and Nancy came out of the Oval Office today, and they said they met with the president. The president, they all sat around, they talked, and they agreed on $2 trillion. That was kind of nice. We thought, okay, now bipartisan an agreement. Everybody likes the idea of infrastructure. There's, you know, it's jobs. It's good. It's getting, you know, roads and internet highway and all the rest of that stuff up to the 21st century. Great. Everybody likes it. Then 2 hours later, Mick Mulvaney, the acting chief of staff for the White House, says, well, you're going to be investigating the president. He's not going to negotiate with you on an infrastructure deal. Is that a dangle? Is that what that is? Like, can you dangle stopping a congressional investigation in exchange for doing the people's work?
No, look, I think, so there's enough blame to go around on this. I've heard of a Democrat in Illinois that I won't call out by name that basically told a group of Farm Bureau members that he won't vote for the USMCA because he doesn't want to give the president a win this year, and literally said that. At the same time, you know, for us to say, we're not going to do anything with Democrats because you're investigating the president, is wrong. Let's just do what's right. I think infrastructure is the right thing to do as long as we can find a way to pay for it. It's, you go to any other country around the world that's got a robust infrastructure plan, and it almost brings a tear to your eye. That's what the U.S. should be doing. So yeah. Let's just all of us get away from our, like, partisan entrenchments for the moment and just do what's right for the country and then let the elections work themselves out anyway.
See, that's why you should be president of the United States. Yeah. But you're not.
Right. I'm not.
So I don't know what to do about that. All right. I hate to remind you, but that's true. All right. Adam Kinzinger. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Congressman.
Goodbye.
Take care, guys.
All right. He's still a congressman, though.
Yeah, he is. That's a big deal. Pelosi, by the way, accepted a Tic Tac from Trump at one point during the infrastructure meeting.
So did she do that thing where she was kind of coughing and she needed something?
Yeah. Was it an orange Tic Tac?
Did she like a Tic Tac?
I didn't see what color.
Tic Tac.
But
his Tic Tacs are white. I'm going to tell you that right now. Yeah,
orange skin.
He's not going with the orange Tic Tac
to match his hair or his face.
No.
Eats them like candy.
No, he's going with the white Tic Tac.
Yeah, I thought that was a moment of diplomacy.
The Tic Tacs when he was on the bus, right? I like to pop a Tic Tac in the mouth because I just start kissing them. Oh God! Did he kiss Nancy?
No,
I'd like to
no
see those two together.
That,
I think those two make kind of a handsome couple.
Well, it's a closed door meeting, so you don't always get to know what happens in these meetings.
And Melania would be relieved. Don't come near me. All right, let's check now. Find out what Kim's working on at the top of the hour.
Ro, we're hearing two dead and several people shot at the North Carolina University at Charlotte this afternoon.
Well, this happened.
What happened?
Joe Biden announced his slogan for 2020.
Oh, no. Okay. I can tell by the tone of your voice.
I'm not sure this is a really good idea. Make America moral again. Mama. A mama hat. Oh, my God.
This is easy pickings for Trump.
Oh, my God.
He set him up.
What's he doing? I just said, did you see the polling this morning? He was at 39% amongst the Democrats, at 39%, and the closest behind him was Bernie at 17%. And nationally, he's at 37% overall with white people. And 50% with non-white people. That's a winning combination right there. That's everybody. It's Democrats and Republicans. That could, you know, that right now, if he just went into hiding for 18 months, he could win the election. But instead, he's in front of a room in Des Moines, Iowa, in front of like 20 people, and he's announcing this thing, and that is not what you need.
Is that really the slogan, or is it?
No,
just,
it's what it is.
That's kind of what he's going with.
I just see the memes of Joe Biden wearing a mama hat and all the things that will be said
probably
about
sniffs
that.
Probably sniff someone's
right.
hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, mama.
He whispers mama into somebody's ear.
Mama. Oh. Hey, mama.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Cheesy DJ you know guy what, would really like that, I
you
bet.
Know what, you know? You know what this is? This is mama country.
Oh. How'd you make that sick?
Because it is. Because it is. Here he is explaining himself.
The president has a motto. Make America great again. Do you have one?
Make America moral again. Make America return to the essence of who we are. The dignity of the country. The dignity of people. Treating our people with dignity. End this god-awful deliberate division that's being taken in order to separating people to aggrandize his own power.
I think he needs to focus group that mama thing.
Yeah, I think he's
officially
got,
launches it.
I, the rest of it was fine. It was
the rest of the message is right.
Yeah,
right on. Okay, we get right. it. We get what you're doing here.
We'll be darling, sweetheart. Listen, Joe. Not a good idea. I think maybe we should rethink the whole mama piece. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that one people can play with really easily.
Mamacita.
Hot mama.
Hot mama, right.
It's just, yeah, not a...
No. There was nobody. See, this is what worries me. There was nobody around him that went, you know what, we need to do? Let's workshop this. just spitballing here.
Yeah.
But maybe the maybe mama is not the right thing. You know, because what happens with these, Joe, with these slogans is now we make them into acronyms. Like MAGA, MAGA, you know, that whole thing?
It's already trending, the hashtag MAMA.
No.
It's out there. Just go ahead and follow it. You'll see what people are saying. It's not all good. In fact, most of it is not good at all. I haven't seen one good thing yet.
Okay. All right. Interesting. If people aren't really tracking with this.
No, I don't think so. They're kind of going to the...
And, you know, and moral is a tough word because moral doesn't have like a... Like a positive notion.
It also isn't concrete. It's like, what are your morals and what are my morals? And what are the collective morals? And do we all agree on them?
Let's go with ethical. How about...
Yeah, make America
M-A-E-A
ethical again.
And people could try and struggle with that one.
Hey, how you doing?
Everyone will think Americans have gone sick. They'll be,
Well, the fact that we're trying to do anything with the make. We don't have to make.
Right.
We don't have to make anything.
You're playing into his game.
Right. Don't make a make.
Do your own thing.
Right. Do something like, you know.
People are saying.
Kevin, you don't like me.
Biden beyond. You know, something like that. Something, you know, like, you know, rocket ship. You know, and something that's like, hey, we're all gonna work together. It's all going to be great. We're not going to have socialized medicine. or communism, or, you know.
There's
no.
a people are saying that they can hear Freddie Mercury singing it now, the mama part of it. That could be like his walk-on music when he goes out for the political rallies.
Oh, Janine, I think just nailed it here. Janine, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, right when I first heard it, all I could think of was Joe Mama.
Joe Mama.
Joe Mama.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He's got to rethink this.
Yep. You know it. I love Joe Mama.
That's right up his alley.
Joe. Here's Joe Mama over here. Oh, God.
That's so true.
Thank you. You know what? What's going to have to happen?
What's going to happen?
Because you can't beat up a bully. You can't, like, you know, go toe-to-toe with a bully. He's
play him at his own game.
Right.
It's sort of hard with him.
So what you got to do is you got to go to him and you got to punch him. Yeah, literally got to punch him. He's going to have to go to a debate and he's going to have to go across the stage. Because people are going to be going, he's old and he came up with the mama thing. He might be losing it. And you're going to have him just get, like, you know, just go nuts. He's going to just have to, you know, go up there and start swinging at him. Maybe not make contact, but show that he's virile.
If you make him flinch, total embarrassment for Trump. Like the fake thing, you know, you just kind of jab your shoulder and then somebody flinches. Like, gotcha! Total burn. That's worse than... That's a bigger burn than actually punching the guy.
Sick burn.
Guy can't take a punch. Clearly flinched.
Oh, man. Did you see... When Trump was on the campaign trail back in 16, he had a situation where he was at one of those airport rallies and there was something happened in the crowd. And it freaked him out. And he looked out in the crowd. He started running toward the crowd. Then he, like, turned around, ran the other way, and the security grabbed him. Mm-hmm. And it's a very funny video because it's him, like, he's not, you know, he doesn't move well. You know, he's not, if he's going to have to make a move, he's not, he doesn't have quick. He doesn't have the defensive back, you know, quick feet kind of thing.
No.
Where I'm going to just kind of turn and move.
Right.
Doesn't have that. No. I mean, I don't have it either, so I'm not sure
I do either. But
I'm trying to be critical of that and say that I'm better than him, although I am. I think I still could have made that move a little bit better.
Sleepy Joe crying mama. That's one of the comments. With all the women problems that have come up around Joe, you'd think he'd come up with something better than mama.
Oh, mama. Maybe that's what
Joe
he's used
mama,
to.
Oh, mama.
Maybe that's what he's used to whispering in women's ears when he gets up there and sits their
hair. Mama.
Hey, mama. Who are you voting for, mama?
Your hair smells nice.
Mm-hmm. I won't touch you in any other inappropriate way other than on the back of your shoulders, and then I'm going to smell your hair.
Oh,
ugh, make America shiver again. Stop it.
Yeah, I think they need to go back to the focus.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Yeah.
Rethink the whole thing, Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's early. This is good. If you're going to make mistakes, this is the time to make them. There's plenty of road there.
But unveiling something like this, you would think, I don't know, you just wouldn't come out yet with that.
No. No. And to think there was somebody in the campaign that said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to announce. Baby Darling, Bubby Sweetheart, here's our idea. We are going to announce. You're going to, first of all, we're going to do a lot of teasing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let a lot of the bad stuff out. We're going to actually get narc on ourselves about the hair sniffing. We're going to put some of those pictures on ourselves so that we can inoculate, that's a very important term,
okay.
Inoculate the electorate.
Got it.
And then we're going to announce, it's going to be a nice announcement. We're going to get with the people over at the ABC. You know that Robin Roberts, she's very tall. People like her very much. Mm-hmm. You'll sit down with her. And then we're going to unveil our slogan, Make America Moral Again, Mama.
That's kind of where he did it.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then, and no one in the room got up and said, hey, ho, 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 ho. No.
Maybe it was Roger Stone in a disguise.
Might have been.
Fake mustache.
Oh, yes.
Big glasses. Oh, wait, no, he wears big glasses a lot.
Yes. Maybe with his glasses off. Who's the guy with beady eyes and a big mustache? He seems smart,
like,
though.
This is a good idea.
Yeah.
You should do this.
He's got to not wear the penguin suit like he does, though.
The stripes.
Yeah.
With the martini in hand at all times.
Hey, easy. Careful.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with martinis. I'm painting the picture here. Listener in the 847, Nacho Mama 2020. What about that?
All right.
People are playing with it, which I don't know.
Before he gets on stage in Des Moines in front of singles of people.
Oh, stop. Singles of people.
I would like him to.
He'll get a crowd in Des
Moines. I know he'll eventually get a crowd. He will. I get it. But I wouldn't do it like this. I'd at least send something. I'd send some shivers up the spine of Donald Trump, not just give him more ammunition. That's the thing. Everybody that Republicans are doing it, Democrats, everybody cowers with this guy. Instead of just getting up there and going, you are a fraud, man. That is what you are. Every sentence out of your mouth is a lie. It's a misdirection. And what Joe did say, it was all just to make him look better. He's pitting people against each other, so he gets them all mad, and it helps him. And people like him because he's mad at the people that they're mad at. And even if he only gets 37% or 35% or whatever of the people in the country that just get mad at everything, then that's good and maybe good enough for him if he spreads it out in the right states. And that's how he did it before. And then also the people who want to vote for Hillary because they were really mad at her. And Joe, I don't know. But Mama ain't going to help.
No, but you know, the reason Joe Biden seems like a formidable candidate to a lot of folks, he's a centrist. He can bring in the blue collar voters that voted for Trump,
class.
The white working class, the Midwest, the unions, which, you know, he had a spat with the president over unions already. Does that make more people?
I thought that was interesting too, because you know what Trump is doing, and this is a standard management trick. If I just may, because I've seen it happen before.
You know this one?
I know this trick.
Out.
Yeah, he's trying to separate the union members from their leadership.
Right,
hey, they're out stealing from you.
They're taking too much money and dues, and you deserve better.
Right.
So vote for me, but he can have the leaders.
Yeah. Let him. Right. The leaders are all bad. You should get rid of your leaders. You should just decertify. You don't need a union. You know, I've heard the speech before.
You have.
So that's how that goes. And that's a guy, you know, that's what business people, and I get it. Business people do not want to negotiate with unions. They want to negotiate with individuals.
Because you have more power.
Yeah, you have more power, and the unions are going to cost you more money. I get it. I understand. But unions also have fought for a working wage. They cover health insurance at a
child
rate.
Labor. I mean,
right, all kinds of things over the years.
Right,
but currently they are valuable
40-hour work week.
as a bulkhead in the healthcare crisis in America. So that's like a totally separate issue. But that's without putting a hard hat on here, I'm just going to tell you that it doesn't make a ton of sense to I get what Trump's doing, though, because it'll get them all mad. Because the one thing, it's like, you know, what do people hate more than, like, police, for example, it's often said of them, what do they hate more than criminals? Their bosses, right? That's sort of what it is. And so, when you get in a large organization, unionized organizations, you know, it's easy to hate the guys at the top driving around in the expensive cars and, you know, taking the money. But they're not all like that.
No.
But Joe's got to go tell that story. And not come up. Don't try to be cute. A 100,000-year-old man should not be cute. You should just be breathing.
And stop the mama thing. Replace that with something else.
Right. A 77-year-old guy doesn't say mama unless it's really freaking creepy. Because mama's dead. Okay?
Aww.
Okay? I'm sorry. It's true, though.
Did you say that?
Didn't she just, I think she just, wasn't she like 100 and something years old?
She was at the funeral for McCain. Wait, wasn't she? I don't know. Let me look this up.
She may not be dead. I may have just killed Joe's mother. Which, by the way, I almost killed Larry King last week.
You did.
Anytime I bring people up, they die. And that's a problem.
Oh, gosh. Don't say that.
Yeah. And I have more details on the kissing bug I will share with you on the other side. That's what we're just going to have to know right there. Let's not even go there. I went off a tangent. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, two people are dead after a shooting at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte.
Come on out to WGN-TV's White Sox Weather Day. It's May 14th. It's with Tom Skilling, and you can see Skilling's presentation followed by White Sox Indians. Tickets available, whitesox.com/WGN.
Okay.
Okay.
I would like to tell you that we have got kissing bug details. We talked to a woman, an entomologist, earlier today from Texas A&M about the kissing bug that has now been found in Illinois that can give you, and I'm sorry, I have to say it like this because this is true. It poops in your mouth and you get heart disease. We don't want this.
Oh, it's so gross. It looks gross. What it does is gross. The whole thing.
Yeah.
Really yuck.
And we talked to her a little earlier on, and then it provoked me to start looking things up about the kissing bug.
Oh, no. You did some research?
I did. Now, I know I'm supposed to do the research before the interview, but I did the research after this interview.
That's not the way it works.
I chose not to know. I didn't want to know anything about this going into the interview.
It does gross you out, just every little thing you learn about this thing.
Yeah. I did the full Larry King. I don't know. I don't have to know anything. It's better. I want to be the constituency of the audience. I don't know. I wanted that. I wanted blissful ignorance about it because I wanted to be freaked out on the air, and it worked. I was.
So
and now I've done the research because I couldn't believe what she was telling us about the kissing bug. And now we're going to find out. I'm going to share all of that with you. You do not want this thing crawling into bed with you and pooping in your mouth. I'm going to tell you that right now. That pretty much is a sentence that goes for everything. But in this case, it's real, man. It's real. Okay. In the meantime, we have got Kim Gordon with the WGN News in 2 minutes. No.
You don't want that kiss.
All right, so earlier on in the program, and I'm sure this is up for podcast now, or will be soon, there was a discussion with an entomologist, a bug professor.
Very smart woman who had all of the answers, but you didn't really want to hear them.
No.
As I recall.
From Texas A&M about the kissing bug. Now, it's like, I don't know how I have lasted on this planet Earth for as long as I have, and I didn't know anything about this thing.
I did not know about this either. But, and what it does is gross.
Till yesterday, the kissing bug, not known to me until Kim brought it up in the news, it's an inch long flying insect. It looks like a flying cockroach, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little head.
And little stripies on it, like yellow or orange.
Right. And what it does is it's a bloodsucker. As a matter of fact, and this is the part that I was looking up, which is really bad.
Okay, what part?
So the scientific name is a triotinemia.
Got it. Perfect.
That's
Can you try it maybe again? What was that?
Triatomine.
Okay.
Triatomine. That's what it's known. Its order is a true bug. I didn't even know that was an order. That you could be, you know, because like the phylum and order and all that stuff.
Right.
You know? Right. So its order is true bug. Its class is Insecta. Its Reduvidae is the family.
Hmm.
Classic Reduvidae.
Reduvidae's. I know them.
They're Italian, havoc. I think.
Yeah, but they changed the name. They changed your name. They didn't want to sound Italian, so it sounded real fancy with the Rodriguez.
What is that? What is the end on? Rodriguez? S?
No, it's just an E.
An E.
Yeah, okay. A Rodriguez. But the higher classification, an assassin bug. It's an assassin bug.
Tells you everything you need to know right there.
Right. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want anything that's an assassin bug. So I had to think, now what is an assassin bug? What does that do? An assassin bug is a Rodriguez that is large and cosmopolitan.
Cosmopolitan.
Yes, it's oh, it's so fancy. It's from cities. It just understands.
Well, it likes to be in the wooded areas, but occasionally comes into the swanky cities.
Right.
To bite people.
Family of the order Amphitera. This is, by the way, why I didn't do any of this in college.
No, I know. Yeah, it's just how do you pronounce these things?
They can be perceived as slightly unusual, but they are very common among the Amphitera. I don't even know what that means. Mm-hmm. Because most of all, they are terrestrial ambush predators.
I knew it.
Yeah. They stay on the ground and they ambush their prey. And their prey is us.
Son of a...
I know!
The hell do we do to them?
I don't know. And we got to change the name. Because this kissing bug is a bad name. Because the kissing bug is, oh, it's going to kiss you. Oh, isn't that sweet? Look at it. It's going to kiss you.
The wrong name for sure.
Cute.
It's going to, right, it's going to bite you and then leave its feces near your face.
Now, see, that's the thing. So here's what we learned from this lady, is that the problem is that this kissing bug can give you a pretty bad disease. Half of the population of this kissing bug carries this parasite that eventually gets into your system, can create organ failure, can create heart disease, can create all kinds of bad stuff.
And often when it drops its little thing behind, you rub it into the wound that it just sort of, because you kind of itch, so you kind of scratch it or itch, and you rub
the feces
into the bite, and that's how it kind of gets into you.
Yeah.
So it, or into your eyes, on your fingers. I mean, just, oh, horrible.
So what it does is it goes, and it has, and I hate when they say this, I just hate it, and they talk about this with bugs all the time. It's any of these scientists want to tell you about this. It goes and it has a blood meal. It's seeking a blood meal. So it finds its host for a blood meal. And then it sucks the blood, but sometimes it over engorges itself and therefore has a fecal release.
Is that how it does that?
That's exactly how they describe that.
Do mosquitoes do this too? We just don't know it.
Yeah, but they fly away before they have a fecal release.
Oh, okay.
Bed bugs, that's the thing with the bed bug. The bed bug does that. That's why the bed bug leaves a trail.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's pooping the whole way as it's walking away from you. It has.
Oh, that's what that is?
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's how you can tell if you have bed bugs, because it, like, there's streaks of stuff in your bed, and that's from the bug. Like, oh, God, I'm so full. Wow. Is there a bathroom near here? Wow. Oh, God. Oh, God, this is going to be a hell of a deuce. Oh, my God.
These are things I'd rather not know, actually. Yeah. But, this is serious, though. This bug, it just, if it bites you and it does this to you, then there's serious consequences. They head for your eyes and lips while you're sleeping.
I'm terrified. So when do we have to we have to be worrying about these now, or is this going to be more of a summer thing?
They're here, Kev. They're here.
Well,
it's like the Nightwalkers.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
They're here.
Well, they're here. Now, apparently, the doctor that we talked to from Texas A&M, they're not sure about it. They're generally a warmer weather bug, but because...
We don't know anything about that.
But things are getting warmer, right? I mean, that is true. Whether we like it or not, or people want to say it is or it isn't, all of these things are moving. So we could sit around and put our head in the sand, but there's probably one of those things down there, too, so I wouldn't do it. They're moving into territories, right? Yeah. They're moving up into this area.
So how do we combat these little bastards?
They didn't even know that when we asked her that too. She's like, I don't know.
She says, yeah, we asked her, is there any repellent? Can you use mosquito repellent or something? She said, no.
I'm gonna get a shotgun. Shotgun to combat myself. I sit in my backyard with a beer and a shotgun. When I see one of these punks coming in my backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about those salt guns? You know those salt guns that people have?
Yeah, those are good.
Pick them off one by one.
Those are fun in the summer.
Oh, I wish you could dynamite.
What are you doing over there, Kev? I've identified the target. I've identified the killer bugs or kiss bugs, whatever they are.
Sure, dude. We are definitely not going to sit here and take this.
Got my camo gear on in the backyard. Neighbors are worried.
Yeah. What are you doing, Mr. Powell?
It's a kissing
bug. I'm killing the kissing bug. I heard about it in the Rokon show. And we're going to have to do something about it right now.
You could patrol the neighborhood and be a hero.
Yeah, that'll
go
totally
up and down.
Go fine. Nobody like, will be concerned.
Don't worry,
with me
I'm here.
Around. Oh, that's just Kevin
with a don't bandana, like Rambo.
Right?
Yeah.
He says something about kissing bugs. I don't know. We're just leaving him alone.
I'm not going to let them poop in my mouth. I'll tell you that right now. It's a bug that poops in your mouth, and I'm going to get it before anybody else.
Kids, go inside, Mr. Kevin's. Having a little kids. Fun walking
right.
In the neighborhood.
All the kids, the moms put the kids behind their back. Right. Like, you know, like, oh.
Honey,
oh.
Go do your homework. Oh. Go wash up.
Yeah, Mr. Powell.
What is he doing?
Mr. Powell spends, he's in show business, so he's not right.
A little brainwashed.
One of those people.
Those people.
He overreacts.
You don't understand. It's an assassin bug. It's an assassin bug. It's a Redouvidae. Oh, man. All right. Well,
they're here.
They're here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, yeah, I mean, you're going to see these things. This isn't like, and again, like the bed bug, it's small. You're not quite sure what it is.
No, this one's big.
Mosquitoes, fleas, the rest of those kinds of things are having a blood meal. Those things are, you know, you're just not sure exactly what's happening. This thing, it's an inch long. It's funky in color. And if it's, you wake up and the thing's crawling up your nose, you know you got a problem.
Yeah.
But they kind of look like stink bugs, and that's my concern. Because you don't want to crush them because they smell.
I know, but I don't think that they, but that's not what these are, though. We do not have, that's the one thing. You want to crush these things, and then you want to get away. You want to call a hazmat team to come in and clean it up.
Right. But in the meantime, I'm going to be freaking out when I see stink bugs, like, ah, squish. No, it was the wrong bug. Everything smells now. It's going to happen like 8 times. I could just sense it.
Better than a kissing bug.
Yes. Hold on.
Ro, luckily you sleep in a hermetically sealed suit, so you wouldn't have to worry about this. That's for people good, like you, it would be okay. Thing. So
hurt.
Just the rest of us.
Hello, 911. I'm having sort of a serious problem here. I think I just killed a kissing bug, and I do need an entire hazmat team to come clean it up. So if you have like a fire department or something that could come over, I would really appreciate it. I'll hang up now and wait for them.
You know 911 will get these calls. I mean, you're joking, but you know, we talked to the 911 operator
who
handles these kinds of calls, and she said that people do call for nonsense like this.
Yes, they do. And that's I'm first among them. All right.
People are talking about how to kill it on our text line. Kill it with fire.
Well, I finally found a need for my flamethrower.
Kevin finally has something he can go do.
Uh-huh.
Flame floors. Hey. It's just been taking up space in my shed.
Come here, little kissing bug. Come here, kissing buggy, 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 buggy. Don't you have a roommate?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to like this conversation.
I don't think anybody
probably
in the neighborhood
not.
Will either. Kevin
well,
rocking
when I tell
around.
Them how much, you know, they're in danger from the kissing bug, and I tell them I'm on patrol for them, looking out for their safety, they might appreciate it a little bit more.
I think you should wear a cape to sort of go through the neighborhood.
I'm going full Rambo.
Mom, where's my flamethrower?
Take out the kissing bugs.
I gotta kill the kissing bugs!
Save the neighborhood.
Where's the gasoline? And where are my Hot Pockets? Oh, Kevin.
Ham and cheese, please.
Oh, Kevin. All right, so let's find out from David Jennings. In the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, what in the... I mean, it's an unfortunate time to actually have to ask him these questions, because what in the hell is going on here on the planet Earth? And there's a lot going on.
Yes, there is. 2 dead, 4 hospitalized, gunshot wounds, happened at UNC Charlotte.
Justin Kaufman.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Anna, how are you?
All right. Special, special Justin Kaufman
excited.
Tonight.
I didn't think we'd have a show tonight. And, of course, the rain intervened, and they said, we need an extension 720. That's what the rainmakers said. So there isn't one plan this week, and we need one. So send some rain over the guaranteed rate field.
I
think
see.
That's what they said.
And that's what happened, because that's it. That is, that's not what happened. All right, so but so you ended up nailing a huge interview.
I love it. I'm sometimes it's these, when you don't have any time, that you actually come up with some great stuff. I could have planning for a week and a half and be like, well, I couldn't get it done. But tonight we have Chelsea Clinton.
Oh.
Is coming to Chicago this week. On Thursday, she's going to be at Women and Children First Bookstore for a book signing. She's got a new
another book. Children's book?
Yeah, another children's book. And she's
Why My Mommy Lost.
No, that's not the
That's
subject.
Not it.
No.
That's not my mommy in the woods. Help me find my mommy in the woods. And so those books where you get like you cut out like a little mommy like and then you put it in the like in little pockets on every page. No?
My mommy against the mean orange man.
Yeah. Right. Oh no, that'll Monster. Be the woodland creature. Right. Like the orange woodland creature. No, this is not it.
No, that's
all right. Okay,
it's about this endangered species,
environment, right?
Yes. Yeah.
See, this is why they're not going to let Chelsea Clinton talk to me. This is exactly. Yeah. It's exactly why
they may have said who?
Now,
who's
wait,
doing the
which person at WGN Radio?
Which show?
Wait, hold on. Let me
evenings.
Do,
wait,
let me,
who?
White Sox baseball? What? It was supposed to be Ed Farmer and DJ. They were going to do the interview, but they got rained out. So
Chelsea Clinton's going to do another one. That'd be kind of fun.
That, so yeah, that's like great. That. Chris Jones coming by. We'll talk about the Tony nominations, and we'll also talk with Ken Erke, who is an advertising executive in town, about the future of advertising. About how will there be a future? In
is he Roger Sterling? Is he like
it's very Roger. I feel like reading the prep and everything. I'm like this Mad Men. I'm just saying Mad Men over and over and over. But the it's about whether or not there's a future in which we will look forward to the advertising. They will do that so customizable and so to you, Ro, that you will look forward to the
To
the commercials
being sold.
That are being interrupted.
Well, it's already being integrated in such a different way, isn't it? I mean, if you watch YouTube or whatever, sometimes you can watch an ad and almost not realize it's there.
6-second ads. That's what the advertising industry is working on. 6-second ads to lead all video prompt. They're no longer going to be the sort of click this button to, skip the ad or have to wait 30 seconds.
Because they want to just go. Because they know that after 3 seconds, you're gone.
Yeah.
True story. I was watching How to Train a Dragon 2 on NBC with my daughter over the break. And she said, why do they keep interrupting the movie? She had never seen commercial television before, and she's 7, and it literally struck me that she only watches streaming or YouTube those kinds of things, but she is not used to a traditional 3-minute break.
There you go, see?
Or at least she's been exposed to it when we're watching shows, but doesn't pay attention enough to that way. It's
that is amazing.
Think about that. My brother's in from California, and he's probably 5 years. He's 5 years younger than me. And we were watching a movie on Sundays. He flew first day in, and we were watching something. And I had taped a movie off of FX. I saw it taped, recorded.
DVR'd it. Because tape is even better. Right. Hold on, I got it. I got to get through this.
Get your finger in the pen.
I got the DVR tech down, right?
Yeah.
I got it down.
So
anyway, I get to the first break. It goes to commercial. He's like, there are commercials in this movie? What are you doing? And I'm like, well, I DVR'd it. He's like, his world, he doesn't even have cable. It's like he gets the movie off of iTunes or he gets it off of here, wherever.
She does too.
Where he can use his mom's password, he gets it. Is that what you're right? I get it.
I'm like, what's mom's password?
Cap
password?
Knows all about Cap that. All Mom,
what's my
the
password?
Password!
All right.
Well, that sounds interesting. We'll be listening.
Oh, God.
Yeah, or we could just do this all day.
I have always found this entertaining. I don't know if anybody else finds
I love it.
Yeah.
It needs to be more consistent. Maybe we can do a podcast of just crosstalk. Call it crosstalk. In a WGN Plus.
Oh, my God. I want to do a podcast that is just called podcast.
Yeah.
And it's just crap, because 90% of them are. 10% are great. There's no middle ground. There's either crap or great in the podcast world. Isn't that true?
It's true, yeah.
Because a bunch of people sitting around laughing at their own jokes that are not even that funny.
Right.
And I know all about that, because I do that 4 hours a day.
Right. You can recognize that.
The difference is you have commercials.
Yes, exactly. And Anna's daughter's like, what the hell's that?
I don't understand this.
What's going on?
Interrupting mom's show. All right.
Have a good show.
Thank you.